What I wanted to ask you now, you've told me this before, but I want it on this particular tape because I don't know where it is in your stuff and the stuff I've taped of you. I want you to tell me about your grade school principal teacher and how he would come into your room on Mondays.
We had a very delightful and what shall I say, very much beloved high school principal. He was an army man. His name was Mr. Wood. I think he had a commission, but I've forgotten what it was. He was a very good principal, and one of the things he did was to celebrate Memorial Day more than any of the other grade schools that anywhere around.
Now, he was a grade school principal?
He was a grade school principal.
Okay.
But he always had his soldier brigade or his soldier fans come to our school on Memorial Day, and we were asked to bring flowers for the soldiers' graves, and we all did. And they would come in formation, and they would do their marching
Annual of Arms, maybe?
You know, they would do they do besides just march?
Manual of Arms.
Do that, and then they would march through our corridors and upstairs, and then they would end up on the stage on the second floor where we would have a service. And we would sing patriotic songs, and we would give all of our flowers to the soldiers who were going to go from us to the cemeteries to put the flowers on the graves. And we always had somebody give the Gettysburg Address, and one of the soldiers would give a little talk, and Mr. Wood would lead the crowd out and down, and we would all have felt that we had a real Memorial Day, and he always made us realize how much the soldiers did for us, and giving their time, their lives, and the ones that were left were so fortunate, and they were hoping that we would remember them kindly and with respect and so forth. And besides that, one thing I remember about Mr. Wood was that every Monday morning he would go through the school, would go to every room, and he would write a couplet or a poem of four lines or some small sentiment on the blackboard. And he would read it to us and explain it to us if it needed explanation. And then he would tell us that the next week he'd be back and we should have it memorized. And he would give us a new one then. So we always did that.
Now, did he have a different one for every room?
I couldn't say that because I was only in the room that I happened to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that he probably had younger type ones for the first four grades, shall we say. And then from the fourth through the eighth grades, more advanced poetry or sentiment for the older children. But they were always good, and the teachers took it seriously and saw to it that we memorized them. So that when he came back the next week, we performed our duties well, and he complimented us, and then he would give us a new one. And he'd write that one on, rub the one, old one off, and write a new one on. And those are the, that special thing is that I remember about Mr. Wood.
Okay, what things did he write? Which ones can you remember that he wrote on the board? You must have memorized them.
Well, there were so many that almost all of the...
Hey, she must have worms.
Why?
If she drags her rump over the ground that way.
Oh, she did. First time we've seen her do that.
She's been doing that today on the way down to the...
Oh.
To the...
Daddy, will you
she's
see
She's got an itchy behind or else worms.
Well, it's the first time I've seen her do that.
That's what dogs do when they have worms.
I know, but that's the first time I've seen her do it.
Mm-hmm.
I watch her all the time.
Well, for instance, one would be, what is that one? Be there a heart that beats so, something that never to us himself has said, this is my own, my native land. What is the beginning of that poem?
Raise there a man with soul so dead
that never to himself has said, this is my own, my native land.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the ones that he gave. Another one was, build ye more stately mansions, O my soul, as the sea billows roll. And there were a couple more lines to that. That was a chambered nautilus, and he'd explain to us how they build on each other and so forth. He would have things like look up, not down, look out, not in, look one more thing that you can do, and lend a hand. And I never understood why it just ended like that. Look up, not down. Look out, not in. Look, where can you look besides up and out? Well, that line will come back to me and I'll give it to you. But that's those are the kinds of things that he had us recollect or remember. And once in a while he would even get to Shakespeare when he'd say there is a time and the tide of men were taken at it. Peak is
taken at its flood.
Taken at its flood is. Well, right now you've got me in a bad time to remember, but that was one of them. if you took it at its flood, you would be fortunate or whatever. I can't remember it. But sometimes he would, as I say, give us ones from Shakespeare that were simple and that were well known. Another one is, what is so rare as a day in June? And if ever come perfect day, heaven tries earth to be in tune, over it soft is, over it softly its warm ear lays, or over it, yeah, that's right. And then we had to do that whole one, that whole poem. And that one I think took us a couple of weeks to learn, but he felt that some of those were worth spending time mm-hmm. on. And then he would tell us about the writers of these poems. and answer any questions that we had. And if you also wanted to know if there were any that our parents liked particularly or that had taught us or that we knew that we would like to have the class learn. He spent a lot of time on that sort of thing, and I think that it made quite an impression on us all.
Did the kids resent learning him?
No. They liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, one thing, too, was to learn our Illinois song and all the words to that and be able to sing it to him. And then we had a little one on our school, the same tune, but the words that fit Erickson instead of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun. We learned that.
Do you remember that?
I think I can. There's a city by a lake, Erickson, Erickson. There's a school that's wide awake, Erickson, Erickson. And the pupils that attend are the best that parents send. So our praises sing to thee, Erickson, Erickson. And our praises sing to thee, Erickson. Then, of course, we'd have to learn who Erickson was and why we were honoring him with a little song.
That was the name of your school, Erickson?
Jen Erickson School, grade school.
Hmm.
He sounded like a pretty good principal.
He was a wonderful man. We all loved him. And he was just old enough. He must have been early 50s, and he was just old enough to be very highly respected and very earnest in what he was doing, and had been in the war, and was anxious to do a good job as a leader and so forth.
Had been in the war? In the Civil War?
I guess it was.
Oh, no, not Civil War.
No?
It must have been.
Well, what would it have been?
Spanish-American, maybe?
Could have been that. Because that was about,
1898.
Five.
That would have been very too recent.
Well, how old were you that time?
Just a little girl. I was born in
95. Well, when you were in school, second, third grade.
I went to school when I was 1900.
So the Spanish-American War would have been very recent.
And went on from there until eighth grade. 1909 or 10, I graduated there. But we did that every year.
Did other teachers make you memorize?
Well, every room we were in. You see, we all went from one room to another every mm-hmm. grade. If we were promoted, it was always a great question at the end of the year, did I pass? And every teacher that we had fell in with Mr. Wood's ideas.
Did you ever fail to pass?
No.
Well, did teachers do memorizing on their own, giving you poems and things like that, or was it just in conjunction with Mr. Wood?
It was in conjunction with him, because in grade school you didn't have to study books like you do in high school. Read books and read poems and memorize certain things from Whittier, like Winterbound or Lowell or any of those. We did have, I think Mr. Wood had us recollect or memorialize the children's hour, for instance. I mean, he picked things out that we might like had to do with children. And that was one that we learned in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
Between the dark and the daylight.
Night is beginning a little
more. Hour. Comes a pause in the day's recreation, which is known as the children's hour. Those things were fun. We enjoyed them and learned them.
But you told me something else about memorization, and that was in college when you said the president of your college would come into the chapel and start reciting.
Dr. Harker would walk in and close his eyes and start in. Be anxious about nothing, and in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And he'd go right on from there and start another one. And he'd do that for about 15 minutes. And we'd all join in, because by the time we were there for some time, we knew them all anyway.
Was it always scripture?
Yeah. Well, that was, in those days, this was convocation. It was, what you call it, not vespers, but chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And he always had that. And then we had hymns that we sang, and there was one we always ended with, and I can't remember what that one was now, but it was a very moving one. But then he would give a talk, and then there was always school business to tell us about anything happening, or what we were to do, or what was going to happen in this particular day or week or whatever, and anything that had made a terrific impression upon him, he would tell us about. And he was a wonderful man too. He was a man that had gone from...
See, there she goes again. She's going to have this whole rug rubbed up.
Well, I've been taking birds off his tail. I'm worried about that.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, he took a lot of birds off.
Oh, I know that, but she doesn't slide her bottom along that way.
No, I've never seen her do that, Jackie. This is the first time. So Ron better get a little... find out about what to do. He was a man who had been a coal miner. And his story is quite unusual and quite wonderful. He'd tell it, he lived in England, and he told how his mother, how the tears went down her cheeks when she gave him this little lunch bag.
I need your toenail cut.
I have to have them cut, and I keep asking Daddy to do it.
Well, go on.
Get that out of it.
When he was about six, when he was about six or seven, his mother sent him into the mines with the rest of the crowd. And he remembered how she cried and tied his little things on his head and everything. And he had to work down in the coal mines for several years, from practically babyhood. And he was very, very anxious to go to school. They couldn't afford school for any of their children until he got to the place where he insisted on going, and he walked, I guess about high school years age, he walked several miles to the school and back. in order to get himself an education. And all of that is in his book that we have here, Twilight Memories. And he studied and did so well that he was able to, in England, go to the next higher school, which isn't the usual. Usually not able or allowed to go. Then they came to America, and he went on studying, and then he became a teacher, and then he became he got a degree, got 2 degrees, I guess, and then he was picked to be the president of a women's college. He'd gotten in with the church too. He was a good Methodist and a very powerful one and a powerful speaker. A little man, but a very wonderful one.
Hmm.
And he got a lot of money for the college and made a lot of friends among the higher ups. For instance, one time he had Mr. Welch of Welch's Grape Juice come and visit us and be the college's guest, and him talk to us. And all. He was always bringing in people like that from outside to teach us things and to get acquainted with them. Of course, he got Senator McMurray interested with his millions. And
is that why they named it McMurray
College? That's why they named it McMurray College. Because there was Illinois Women's College and Illinois College, and that had always been sort of too bad. They wanted the two colleges to go together. Harker did, but the other one wouldn't. They wanted to be just a man's school, and it was for years. Then it became a co-ed, and then Illinois Women's College became co-educational. We were founders of that part when they let the boys, let the men in. There were certain people that gave enough so that it could be done.
Hmm. And you and Daddy were founders?
Yeah, gave $1,000 toward it.
Did you memorize much on your own?
Yes, I did. I was a great reader, just like you girls were. And my mother kept me she kept me with a lot of books of my own. She'd buy. And then I had a library card, and I used to read regularly, and then the minute I'd finish one book, I'd take it back and get another one on my card. And the librarian would know good books for the youngsters to read and would tell us what one to take next if we thought we'd like it. And then in those days, everybody that had any children who weren't so shy that they never could show themselves, they always had their children learn
pieces,
recitations that they were called, or we'd do elocution, and same with our pianos and dancing. So I had books this thick that were full of poems of all kinds, and I had them all memorized. And so whenever I was asked to speak a piece, why, I was ready. And in school all the way through, on any day that we had a program, I was always on the program.
What sort of things do you say? Can you remember any of them now? Can you speak a piece now?
Oh, let's see. Little orphan Annie's come to our house to stay, to wash the cups and saucers and brush the crumbs away, and Why can't I go on from there? Little Orphan Danny's come to our house to stay, to wash the cups and saucers and brush the crumbs away and something or something, and do the dishes and wash the floor. Well, I'll have to skip a line or two to like him back. But when the supper things is done, us children used to sit around the fire and we'd have the most fun of listening to the witch tales that Annie told about. And the goblins will get you if you don't watch out. Because once there was a little boy who wouldn't say his prayers. And when he went to bed at night, way upstairs, his mammy heard him holler and his daddy heard him bawl. And when they went to get him, he wasn't there at all. They hunted through the attic rooms and bedrooms and whatever where else you hunt. Even through the chimney flue and everywhere, so I guess. But all they ever found of him was just his pants and roundabout. And then the goblins will get you if you don't watch them. And once there was a little girl that the little boy didn't say his prayers. Once there was a little girl who
talked back to her ma or something like that.
The other night in bed, I sent it through because I was trying to put myself to sleep. So I ought to know. There was a little girl who... something or other, and made fun of everyone. And even blood and kin. Now what would rhyme with kin?
Sin?
No. And once when there was company and old folks was there, she mocked him and she shocked him and she said she didn't care. And that night when something happened anyway, they got rid of her somehow, and the goblins, it ended up with the goblins will get you if you don't watch out. That's by Riley, and we have it here in the house someplace. It would be in one of our anthologies. Mm-hmm. Once from there was this little girl.
Well, I think it's interesting, Vera, how you happen to get to McMurray. In the first place, you graduated from high school and you were a dancer and you're a pianist, and for a while you were traveling with...
Well, I went to Kendall College too for 2 years.
Yes. And then you were traveling with Vicki
B.C.
Booth-Cliburn,
yeah,
as a pianist.
Yeah.
And holding evangelistic services in various churches, and you were in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And Dr. Harker heard you and thought, oh, now there's a girl that we ought to have in this school. And he approached you on it, and you said you couldn't afford to go to college. And he says, well, we can handle that all right. And there was a one-time offer of a $4,000 scholarship by who?
Miss Dodge.
Miss Dodge. And Harker arranged that Mommy should get that $4,000 once-only grant. And she went into college with $4,000.
Pretty neat. I never heard that story.
And then very shortly she was a leader in college, and she was...
Well, they found that I had had all my science in this other school, so I had all that, all those credits before I even started college. I had had anatomy of brain, viscera, nerves, every kind of anatomy, plus kinesiology and anthropometry, several kinds of science that I wouldn't get at this college. And when they found that out and that I had graduated and knew, had had dancing and so forth, then I was an assistant faculty, as it were. So I taught while I was in college, and was able to make my 4 years by having had all the science that I needed, and then took two